Well, I'm thankful that a few of us are left. As we head into, I really don't like to call it Easter, but that seems to be the typical jargon. I like to think of it as Resurrection Sunday and all of those accoutrements that surround the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we attempted to cover all that Jesus did in just the last week of his life, it would take several months of preaching, and you would probably walk out on me. So there's a lot to cover. How's your memory this morning? Well, I saw a couple of hands. We're going to memorize six words. Just six words, and if you memorize these six words, you'll pretty well have information on the passage of Scripture that we're going to look at this morning. The six words are Jesus knew, Jesus loved, and Jesus taught. Now, let me go over that again. Jesus knew, Jesus loved, and Jesus taught. So, let's repeat that together, all right? So you fix it in your mind. Jesus knew, Jesus loved, and Jesus taught. Oh, you've got that down pat, right? Yeah, sure you do. I believe it. All right, we're going to start with John 13, verses 1 through 3. And this is what John 13, 1 through 3 says. It was just before the Passover festival. And Jesus knew, we've already memorized that, that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go and be with the Father. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So the first thing that we want to remember is Jesus knew. The Passover feast was the most important celebration of the year for the nation of Israel, for every Jew. The disciples were in a festive mood, no question about it. This was an exciting time. This takes place on the night before Jesus was to be crucified. So while everybody was in a festive mood, Jesus was thinking about what was going to happen to him the next day. It was the Last Supper that Jesus would eat with his disciples. Everything was coming to closure. It's significant that twice in this scripture we see the words, Jesus knew. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him. Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew that he was going to be betrayed. He knew that he was going to leave this earth. He knew that he was going to go through all that he went through in the crucifixion. The people who spit in his face, the people who pounded him with their fists, the people who put a crown of thorns upon his brow. All of that, Jesus knew all about it. Some of it he had experienced, but much was going to take place the next day. So while the disciples were enjoying themselves, Jesus was in a very meditative mood. He was thinking, if tomorrow you knew you were going to be crucified for the sins of all mankind, would you be very joyful? Probably not. Jesus didn't really get into the Last Supper like the disciples did. He was suffering alone, basically. No one else understood. He had told those disciples time after time after time that this was going to happen, but they just simply did not get it. And when they did get it, they fled like a bunch of birds flying away. Jesus knew what the Passover meant for him. It meant his end. It meant his time on this earth was over. It meant that he was going to suffer immensely and be crucified. However, we want to keep in mind that that crucifixion was for us. The shed blood was for us. Without the crucifixion, without the shed blood, we'd still have our sins. We have the forgiveness of sin only because of what Jesus did. And we're thankful that he did so. To get the nation of Israel out of Egypt was a big task. 9 plagues. And the Egyptians said, no way. We're going to, no matter what happens, frogs, lice, the Nile River turning to blood, 9 plagues. And they said, no, nope. We're not going to have you leave. We're going to have you stay with us. So the 10th plague, terrible plague. If you didn't have what Jesus offered, the first child in every home would die. Male child. You want to remember, in those days, male children were top rung. Female children, you could sacrifice them. They didn't amount to much. But sons amounted to everything. So Jesus had a way of keeping the nation of Israel from losing their firstborn son. He said, you'd find a lamb without blemish. Has to be perfect. You slaughter it, and by the way, they could eat the lamb. You take the blood from the lamb and put it on the doorpost, above the door and on the doorpost, and when the death angel comes, he will not take the firstborn son. Well, the Egyptians were in agony over this because they were losing their firstborn sons. And so there was a great cry going up from the Egyptians about this whole situation. And finally he called Moses and said, get out of here. We've had enough. So the head of every house that followed the instructions of the Lord did not lose their firstborn son. Without the blood, the firstborn son in every family would be killed, lose its life. So the Israelites killed a lamb, applied the blood, and they were spared. Let me tell you, because of what Jesus did, the next day we are spared. Your sins can be forgiven through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Now, I know that that's a hard lesson for people to get a hold of, but that's what the scripture says. Life is in the blood, and Jesus shed that blood on our behalf. The Passover was to be remembered every year. Jesus knew that this particular year, the Passover meant more than just remembering. Jesus knew that it meant the end of his life on this earth and the fact that he would suffer persecution and crucifixion and go to be with his Father. He would pay a horrific price. I don't think we even get close to the horrific price that Jesus paid for our sins and the fact that we can enjoy life knowing that our sins are forgiven in the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples didn't know this. Even though they were told many, many, many times, they just did not get it. Even after Jesus' crucifixion, they didn't get it. What did they do? They left him. They went back to their fishing. They said, it's all over for us. They didn't understand what Jesus was going to go through when he was crucified and when he shed his blood. Jesus did something at the Passover meal that we need to think about. The second thing that we memorized was Jesus loved. First, Jesus knew. He knew all of this. And second, Jesus loved us. Here's what the scripture says in John 13. Having loved his own, who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. M. Scott Peck says that this is one of the most significant events in the life of Jesus Christ. I want you to think about this for a minute. This is the Son of God, the one who came from the Father, he is robed in righteousness, he is the only answer to the forgiveness of sin, and yet he's going to wash the disciples' feet. He took off his outer garment, wrapped himself in a towel, and began to wash the feet of the disciples. Now, normally, they would have a servant there to do that, but not this time. Their feet were dirty from the walk that they had been on in order to get to the place where the Passover was going to be held. Otherwise, they were clean. Jesus said that they had cleaned up, taken a bath. The only thing that they needed was to have their feet washed. This is pretty tough to think about. This is the Son of God. And he has purposely decided to wash the feet of the disciples. That would be like having the greatest spiritual person you know washing your feet. I don't know if anybody of you have ever participated in a foot washing. Gwen and I have a couple of times. But the scripture doesn't tell us that we should practice foot washing as a remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a very special thing. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ, perfect, without sin, in every way complete, and he's going to wash the feet of the disciples. Ordinarily, there would have been a servant there to do that, but no servant was there. The disciples, of course, did not volunteer to do it. No, they were too involved in what they were doing with the Passover. And so it was Jesus Christ who decided to wash the disciples' feet. Some dialogue went on. Simon Peter, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus said, "You do not realize what I'm doing, but later on you'll understand." Peter, "No, no, 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 no. You will not wash my feet. You can wash the rest of these people's feet. You can take care of the other disciples, but you're not going to wash my feet." Then the Lord said, "Well, if I don't wash your feet, you'll have no part with me." Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you is clean. He was talking about Judas, who had already received 30 pieces of silver. He already was the one who did in the Lord Jesus Christ or betrayed him. So as usual, Peter speaks up. "No, no, I'm adamant you will never wash my feet." And Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, then you'll have no part with me." Now, Peter, being Peter, said, "Okay, well, if that's the case, then wash my head and wash my hands." One translation says, "Wash everything. Wash my whole body." That's how Peter was, you know. "No, you'll never wash my feet." And then, boom, "Wash my head, wash my hands, wash everything. If it means that I'm going to be with you, then do it all." So Peter was that way. He adamantly, on one hand, "I don't want you to wash my feet." On the next hand, "Wash everything. If it means that I'm going to be with you in the coming kingdom." And what he perceived about the coming kingdom was erroneous. His idea of the coming kingdom was that Jesus would conquer Rome and that the disciples would be the cabinet, so to speak, and they would help rule everybody. Well, that's not the way it was at all. Peter had been with Jesus for 3 years. He still did not understand the depth of the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. It just seemed to escape him, as it did the other apostles. We're kind of like that, aren't we? Do we really understand the heart of our Savior? Do we really understand the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ? If we were asked to explain the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ to somebody else, could we do that? If we knew that somebody's salvation depended upon what we were going to do and what we were going to say, could we explain that well enough so that people would understand the Lord Jesus Christ? Wow. There's always more that we can learn about him. And here we learn that Jesus was humble. He was loving. He was a willing servant who greatly loved outspoken Peter. That's an amazing thing. Of all those disciples, Peter was the big mouth. But the scripture says Jesus loved him no matter what. Through this act, Jesus was teaching the disciples and us that we are to humble ourselves and to serve others. Think about that. Since Gwen's accident, we made it to town yesterday. I think it was yesterday, wasn't it? It was yesterday, Friday. No, yesterday was Saturday. We went to town on Friday. Here's how it goes when we go to town. I'm slow with my drop foot, so I can't keep up with Gwen. She goes around the store just bam, 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 bam. I never know where she is. So I find one of those chairs, one of those benches, and sit down and wait for her to bring her stuff. Well, I was sitting there, and I was struggling a little bit to get up, and this young lady with two children came up to me and said, "Do you need some help?" I said, "Yeah, I could use a little help." Bam! That's a strong lady. She pulled me up like I was a feather. That happened to me twice on that day. And I thought, boy, I profusely thanked her. It doesn't seem like a whole lot, does it? But for me, it was a great deal. And the scripture says that we need to be aware of where we're at and be able to help others in their need. In 1878, men from all over the world began to enlist in the Salvation Army. It was newly formed at that time by William Booth. Samuel Brengle, he was a successful, very successful pastor in America, left the United States and joined the Salvation Army. And while he was there, William Booth said, this guy is pretty egotistical. He thinks he's better than the rest of the people. So he assigned him to clean the boots of all the trainees. He had a hard time with that for a while. And then it dawned on him, he remembered Jesus at the Passover, who took off his outer garment and washed the feet of the disciples. And he said, if Jesus Christ could wash the feet of the disciples, I can polish the boots of the trainees. And he did so happily and gladly. And by the way, he became the first commissioner who was not a part of the original group of people who formed the Salvation Army. But he became a commissioner from the United States. And all that time he said, Lord, if you wash their feet, I will polish their boots. And he did that faithfully. And in time became the first American commissioner in the Salvation Army. So what have we learned today? Well, first of all, Jesus knew. He knew what was going to take place. And Jesus loved. My goodness, he loved those disciples. He loved Peter in spite of what Peter was. And then he taught. He taught that we should be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we should open the spiritual eyes of our hearts and we would look around. Look around you this week. If it's nothing more than helping somebody get up, whatever it might be, look around and say, boy, this is something I can do. And you will be blessed, and they will be blessed as well. Jesus knew he was the Passover lamb who would be sacrificed for the sins of the entire world, for your sins and for mine. The wonderful news is that anyone can come to him, accept what he has done, and God will pass over their sins. You need to share that with people constantly and continually. Jesus knew what his disciples would do when they found out about all of this. You remember what they did? They left him. They just plain left him. What a tragedy. Jesus loved those guys in spite of that. And Jesus taught these disciples, and so we are to serve others. If there's anything that we can get out of the Passover, it's that we should serve others, that we have the opportunity to serve others. But we have to open our eyes and look around and see who there is to serve. It may be small. It doesn't have to be big. Just a small thing like, a young lady with two children. I wouldn't want her to wrestle her. She was strong. So look around this week as you go about. What can you do for somebody else? Maybe you can help them up. Maybe you can do some little thing. It doesn't have to be a big deal, but find out what you can do to serve somebody else. Wow. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated constantly and continually. He was always serving others. He never stopped serving others. When he was crucified, he was serving others. What a powerful lesson. The Lord Jesus Christ knew what was going to happen to him. Let's honor him by serving others this week, every day. I'm sure that that would please the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that we have to wash anybody's feet. That's only found in the scripture once. And yet I know scripture churches that have foot washing once a month. I think that's probably too much. Once in a great while, it's fine. But boy, we have a wonderful Redeemer, a wonderful Savior. So this morning, the invitation is lift your name on high. And that's what we need to do. As we go about this week, looking for opportunities to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's be standing as we sing together.